Christian Crusaders warmly welcomes you to our weekly radio ministry. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Life has its good and bad days. Where do I go for security when the going is rough? We're going to talk about that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, truly it is right that your voice is the balm in Gilead. It is your voice that brings us comfort and strength and the promise of forgiveness when the going is rough and when we are found with guilt. Today, O God, we pray that through your word you will speak to us very clearly. We ask that for those of us who listen and are well. We also pray a very special blessing that your word may speak that bit of comfort to those who are sick and shut in. We also pray that you will bless those who travel over the highways. Grant that this may be a blessed time with you. Hear our prayer that we ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. The last few Sundays, I have been preaching a series of sermons on the 23rd Psalm. One of our listeners sent this comment, and I appreciate it very much. When we take a portion of Scripture, like the 23rd Psalm that is known to so many people, it is much better if you use the King James Version of the Scriptures. I agree. I recall one Christmas Eve when we used a modern translation to read the Christmas Gospel. We got by the first service, but not the last three. There were many who rose up and said, "We were raised on the Christmas Gospel as it is recorded in the King James Version." And so immediately we went back to that old traditional portion of the Word of God as it was read in the King James Version. So today let me read it once again, and this time from that translation familiar to so many of you. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Again, we ask the question, why is the 23rd Psalm one of the most popular portions of God's holy word to so many people? Well, I believe it's because it answers the needs of many people. It comes with the answers to questions that we ask on a daily basis. Last week, it presented to us a realistic picture of life. There are good days and there are bad days. Last week it says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." That reveals to us that there are some very pleasant days as we walk through life with the Lord Jesus. Today the text goes to the fourth verse, and there we read, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." In other words, he is here describing frightening days. Yes, days when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Every one of us, sooner or later, have our frightening times. We have fears. Life really produces fears. And fear is an emotion that all of us experience. We cannot avoid it. It is then that I ask the question, where do I find my security? So let's talk just a little bit first about the fears that come to us. As we walk through life, there are those times when I know not which way to turn. Oh, it is true that there are the good days and the bad days. Today I laugh, and tomorrow I cry. And I'm walking through these various experiences. I think the psalmist says it very well when he lets us know that we're not going to stay in one particular place a long time. But we'll go from the good times to the bad times, from laughter to crying. The question today is, when I go through those bad times, when my heart is filled with fear, where do I turn? I believe that it is true that often our fears are very imaginative. There is a sense then that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Death may be very close, but we're still in the shadow, and the shadow cannot hurt us. But it does remind us of the reality that can come, and that can be extremely frightening. For example, a friend goes into the hospital for a very serious operation and does not make it. Now I am told that either I or one of my loved ones has to have this same kind of an operation. What does the mind do? It immediately says, well, my friend didn't make it. It is possible that I will die during or as a result of that operation. That's a shadow of death. It, at that particular time, is a fear that is very imaginary. Or, for example, there's an accident. I found myself here a few days ago witnessing a terrible accident on the highway. When the accident was cleared and we were permitted to go on, I drove much slower than I had been driving. There was in my imagination the thought, because this person went through that accident, it is entirely possible that I will too. And so I have to be extra careful that it doesn't happen to me. Very hard for a parent or even a grandparent to let go of their children or their grandchildren. There are dangers out there in this world, both physically and spiritually. We know that because some of our relatives and friends have had trouble with their children. What a horrible thing it would be if we had to go through that same turmoil. As a result of that, there is fear. And sometimes we live in the shadow of death. The fears are there. But there are also those times when we are living, when we face death, and it isn't any shadow. It is not the product of our imagination. The fears are real. That is not only true of death, that is true of many other uncomfortable experiences in life. I have a good friend. He had given many years of faithful service to a particular institution. And one day, when he came to work, he was notified that he was no longer needed. There was a pink slip given to him. He was given a fair severance pay, they said, but then there would be no longer any work. Now there is a real fear. He was a man who had a family. He was 50 years old. He is not as saleable at that particular age as he was when he first went to work there many years ago. He's afraid. For example, there is the medical diagnosis that is very real. I have a very, very close friend who has been told that his malignancy is terminal. And he could live for a matter of days or he could live for a matter of years. The best physicians in the land cannot tell him how long, they say. But he realizes that he's living on borrowed time. That's not an imaginary fear. That is very real. The selling of our homes, when we go into retirement, can also produce a very real fear. It is not imaginary. Recently, I visited with two dear friends whom I had been with through the years. I had visited with them in one town after another, and they always lived in a beautiful home, plenty of room, and everything was just what they wanted it to be. Now they're old. They can no longer take care of themselves. They live in their retirement center. And as I sat with them in their room, a rather large room, a rather pleasant room, and they weren't complaining, but the husband simply said, "You know, for many, many years we've lived in houses that had 2,000 square feet, and now we have these few hundred square feet. We don't really have any place to put our furniture. We gave some away, we sold some. But I did have to go out," he said, "and rent some extra space, because there were certain possessions I had which I simply could not let go. I don't know if I'll ever see them again. I guess it really doesn't matter. I just know where they are, and I can go there if I really have to." Yeah, that's a real fear. What happens next? And he knows what happens next. That one of them is going to die. And the result of that is that they're going to be separated. It isn't that they doubt that they're going to their heavenly home, but the problem is the leaving of it. The separation of a union that has been intact for over 60 years. Those are real fears. And I'm sure that I address many of you who are going through this or who have gone through it rather recently. A few days ago, my wife and I attended her family's reunion in Estes Park in the beautiful Rocky Mountains. There were 10 children in her family. Today, 6 of them live. 4 of them were able to be at the reunion. 2 were not physically able. The results were that the numbers are getting smaller. Once, I think we had nearly 100 people at the reunion, and this time I think the number was 27. One evening we sat and had to make some preliminary plans for the next reunion 3 years away. And one person from the first generation turned and said, "You know, it is true that we want this to carry on, but the second generation is going to have to do the planning, and you do it for your lifestyle. Because it's quite possible that some of us who yet survive will not be here or will not be able to be here." Now, there was no great sorrow about all of that, for all of us realized, whether we're young or old, that when we leave this world, because of Christ Jesus, we're going home to be with the Lord, and we can have our reunion there in the heavenly mansions. But there is the leaving. There is the planning ahead with some indefiniteness. So we wonder, where are we going? 3 years is a long time when you're in your 70s or your 80s. There's fear. It's fear that goes along with it. And it is at this point that we have to turn to the scriptures as we ask the question, where is our security? Well, enough of that. The scriptures go on to say that, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me," that the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. That's where our security is. Money can't buy it. Family and friends cannot deliver it. But our security is knowing that Jesus Christ is forever with us. Now, fortunate is the person who not only is acquainted with this beautiful verse, which makes the psalm, but fortunate is that person who has experienced this truth, that when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know Christ Jesus is with me. Page through the scriptures, my friend, and see how often our Lord Jesus Christ refers to his being with us in tough times. As he was talking to his disciples, he said to them one day, "Take a look at the lilies. They neither toil nor spin, and yet your heavenly Father clothes them." He ends that portion of scripture by saying, "Fear not, little flock, for your Father in heaven has been pleased to give you the kingdom." In another passage of scripture, Matthew 14:27, there you had the account of the disciples who had gone out on the sea, and a storm had come up, and their boat was being tossed to and fro. Here came Jesus walking on the water. They were deathly afraid. They thought it was a ghost. And he cried out to them and said, "Don't be afraid. It is I." You know how often in a symbolic way we can find that truth in our everyday living. The storms of life can be all around us, whatever they may be. They may torment our soul with fears. But what our Lord Jesus wants us to know is that in those very, very difficult times, here he comes. "Fear not, little flock. I am with you. Do not be afraid. It is I." Turn to that great chapter, Matthew 11, and come down to that last part, around verse 28. And our Lord Jesus Christ is saying to these people, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest." When he sent out his disciples to bring the message of Jesus Christ to this world, what was it he said? "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Isaiah put it well, days before our Lord walked on this earth, but how well he stated it. "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you." Look, friend, look at what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He has suffered and died at the cross of Calvary. And if you and I will repent of our sins and turn to him and receive him as our Savior and our Lord, then we will be forgiven and restored into fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Yes, even though life can be frightening, our Heavenly Father has us by the hand, and so we can cry out, "Take my hand, blessed Lord, take my hand." To appreciate this verse, you and I have to know Christ Jesus in a very personal way. For it is true that it is far more than a beautiful verse of Scripture. It is a truth with which we live, and it is the answer to our question, "Where do I find my security?" If we will but receive him, if we will walk with him, if we will grow in the faith and be dependent on Christ, the Good Shepherd, as the sheep are dependent on their shepherd, then there will be a peace which passes all understanding. In life, we often say to the child or to the young person, "Grow up and learn to stand on your own two feet." But in our Christian faith, we learn that we never grow up in that sense of the word. We simply grow closer to him. And the closer we grow to our Lord Jesus, the more we realize that we must lean on our Savior, for he alone is our strength and our security. Is there any wonder that this is one of those favorite passages of Scripture? It answers so many of our daily questions, including this one: "Where do I find my security?" Amen.
Son, I am
Father in heaven, give to us a picture of Jesus as a good shepherd. Help us to understand that even though there are those very difficult times, that he is with us. And again, for those, O Lord, who at this very moment are having some of those difficult times, come forth from the scriptures and speak, O Lord, and let them know that while this is beautiful poetry, it is far more than that. It may be in poetic form, but it is a message that has come directly from you, that you are our Father, that you have created us, and that when we have sinned, you have been willing to restore that fellowship. All of this you have done through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. May we find our security and our peace in him, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit ministry dependent on the prayers and financial support of our listeners. Your gifts enable us to buy radio time on 23 stations across the nation each Sunday. We thank each of our donors for your steadfast gifts. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. Pastor Larson writes the feature article for each issue. If you would like to receive this newsletter free of charge, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484, and call between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. You can leave a message on voicemail at any time. You will also receive letters from Pastor Larson at Easter, Christmas, and our anniversary in September. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Again, our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.